Well, let me find this 26th verse. There we go. About Sunday, about a song, a message called Radio. I think I switched four subjects right there. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, earlier in the day, I was talking back and forth to Ryan on the text and on Messenger, and I was getting this message called Radio, and I was getting this message that we're going to preach tonight, and it's kind of just like all over the place. God's just like, one minute he's wearing me out, next minute he's giving me another word, next minute I'm doing this, and he's sending me messages, and he's like, well, we want to do this, I want to do that, and all of a sudden it just hit me. I said, hey, why don't you just come sing tonight? My song leader's out of town, and why don't you just come and bless the church tonight? And he's like, you know, and he's like, well, all right, how about this song? And I'm like, great, come on, you know. And he's like, and then Scott sends me a message just a few minutes later, hey, Betsy's not going to be there either. I'm like, well, golly, God's just good, ain't he? And I wanted to introduce you guys to him and let him bless the Lord in front of you. And then I figured, you know, and he's like, what kind of is that? I said, hey, we're just going to mind the Lord tonight. Amen. So then, this message. I got it. I know we've been doing a series out of Peter for the last 4 or 5 weeks, but I got this message, and I think I text Mark about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, and I was pacing the floor, man. And this message is burning me down. And I was like, golly, Lord, I've got like 4 more hours to deal with this message, man. I said, could you not give it to me at like 5, you know, where I can at least breathe? And Mark even said in a text, what are you going to do? He said, maybe we should move church up. So I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go to Proverbs 28:6. Let's just get into the Word. And I'm going to preach to you like I don't know you. Amen. Is that all right? I'm going to preach to you like I don't know you. I do know you, but I'm going to preach to you like I don't know you. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor that walketh. That ain't the right verse. It's 26:8. Golly, I'm killing it tonight. No. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Is that better? Is that right? That's not that verse. Better are the wounds. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. I'll get there, believe me. Golly, I'm having a rough time. 27:6, is that it? Hey, we're all over it. Now turn your Bible over to Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Does that make sense? The first one is the wounds of a friend, right? That makes me reevaluate who I call my friend. Because most of the time today we would call our friends somebody who appeases us, who says kind words about us, who encourages us. But a true friend would hurt you to help you. A true friend would say what they need to say, even if it made you mad. Even if it ticked you off. You right now, in your mind, you got a friend in your mind who's willing to tell you what needs to be said, even though they know they're not getting a text, a phone call. You're not calling them. You're not going to be around them. And you took it like, thank you, I appreciate it. I ain't talking to you for a while. But if you put a category of what kind of person that is, you would name them as your best friend, because they're willing to tell you the hard stuff. Because if there was this kind of a comparison, he said, there was this lady, and that's the only way I know what I said. There was this lady who was out in public, and she wasn't dressed correctly. And the woman leaned over to her husband who seen her and said, and what I mean correctly was just, she didn't look good. Oh, golly, I got more women in here. I need to talk about this. But she leaned over to her husband and she said, oh, my gosh, it's so bad. That woman doesn't have a mirror or a friend. Amen? Because either one of those would have kept her from being out here. Amen? Golly, I got about 100 women looking at me right now going, go ahead, big guy, just keep talking. But I want you to hear that. You know what? Sometimes we do go out. We do things that if somebody would be honest with us and say, that's just something, you need to change, you need to fix. That's going to hurt. But it's going to hurt less when you're out in a situation and everybody's looking and you don't look foolish. God does that. Amen? God does that. It says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that took me to John 15:15 in the New Testament. John 15:15. It'd be good if I got in John. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You're a friend of Jesus if you're saved. You know that? You're a friend of Jesus if you're saved. You're not a servant, even though you are. You're not just somebody who goes to church, even though you do. God considers you a friend. I was going to title this message, I had it titled, Here Comes Jesus, or Jesus is Coming. I put it on Facebook, I said, Jesus is coming. And somebody said, I'm preaching that same thing about the coming of Jesus Christ. And I was like, I want to go back and tell them, not what I'm preaching. But it kind of is. Let's put a line through that. That's not the title. Jesus is coming. Mark that out. If I had good graphics, I mean cool graphics up on the wall, which when we're going to get there one day, you know what I'd have? I'd have Jesus is coming in a line through it. And every one of y'all went, oh, can't believe the preacher just said that. At the bottom of it would say, my friend, Jesus is coming. My friend, Jesus is coming. See, and I kind of put it like this. My friend, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know how he's coming? He came to Peter and James and John. When they were outcasts. They were the Christian outcasts. They were the holy outcasts. Now, yeah, in their terms, guess what? When you were a kid and you were coming up, and when you were 7 and 8 and 9 years old, the high priest would come, and he would choose children, he would choose kids, and he would walk with them so long, and after they got to about 12 and 13 years old, if they weren't just going to cut the mustard, if they weren't going to be the spiritual elite, they sent them back to their homes to become workers of whatever they wanted to be, fishermen, carpenters, whatever. And guess what? Peter, James, John, Matthew, all the apostles, guess what? They were sent home. They were not considered very righteous or holy men. But here comes Jesus. No, y'all going to get it. Here comes Jesus. This one gets me because guess what? One day, I'm not religious elite. I'm not smart. I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. One day, he said, hey, come on. I'll make you fishers of men. Come on. You know what? I love the day when the gift showed up in my life. Jesus, the gift, showed up and said, hey. And I said, hey, my friend showed up. One day, somebody was talking about Peter. What qualifies you? John, what qualifies you? Matthew, what qualifies you? Simon Zelotes, what qualifies you? One day, my friend, Jesus, showed up. Aren't you? Can you remember the day that he showed up in your life? Can you remember the day that he walked through when he shouldn't have walked through? I love those guys. Throwing those nets. When they first met him, he said, cast that a little bit deeper. I love how Peter, he had his boat sit out there and he'd been fishing all night. But then all of a sudden this radical, crazy preacher shows up and said, can I use your boat as a pulpit? Can I use the waves as an amplifier? Back out just a little bit where I can talk to these people. Peter's sitting behind him in the boat going, man, Don't you know how much work I got left to do? I just cleaned this boat out. Man, this guy's powerful. Man, he's speaking words of life into me. Man, I wish he'd get out of my boat. He's killing me. You ever done that? God gets in your boat, he won't even get out of the boat. Why? Because when you realize who he is and you realize who you are, all you can do is get out. You don't need to be in this boat. It's a nasty vessel. You don't need to be here. No, the reason I came is for you. Now cast out a little bit deeper. Now row out a little bit deeper. I ain't preaching no more. I'm getting into your life. Take those nets and throw them over. Hey, this ain't no, hey, Lord, we've been doing this all night. Yeah, but at your word. That was a 3-year run right there, wasn't it? Every time Jesus showed up, every time Jesus, when he was in a boat, Jesus would show up. And on his worst day, he's out there fishing with his friends. That whole lot, I don't know what y'all are going to do, but for as for me, we're going fishing. Amen? We go with you. Peter's standing on shore, cast it on the other side. Right? Y'all just heard that recently? Golly. That's when Jesus shows up. I thought about another guy when Jesus shows up. Here comes my friend, Jesus. Was a well-to-do guy named Zacchaeus. Y'all remember Zacchaeus? You know what I thought about when I thought about Zacchaeus today? When God put it on my, it's the people who are good, who are well-to-do, who climb the ladder of success. Is there anybody in here? I won't look. Is there anybody in here who got up the corporate ladder, who made some money, who done pretty well, and you found out there was no peace, there was no hope, and there was no joy that would fill your soul? You thought, man, if I could just make a little more money, if I can just get a little bit higher, if I get another title, if I get another job, if I get another office, if I get another car, if I get another account, then I'm going to feel better. God, nobody. But guess what? Here comes Jesus. Here comes my friend Jesus. Man, I love the story of Zacchaeus because he's the only person in the Bible that, guess what, really didn't need Jesus, but really needed Jesus. He wasn't sick. He wasn't broke, he wasn't hungry, he wasn't without, but he needed Jesus more than anybody did. Because guess what? He had tried it all, he had got up to the level of success and found out. Because sometimes we think that way. Sometimes, guys, we think that way. That Bill Gates, those people, that rich people, those basketball players, those football players, those people, they got something they don't got. No, listen, if they don't got Jesus, they ain't got nothing. They found out something really good. They climbed to the very top, and they found out at the pinnacle, when the devil takes you to the pinnacle and you rise all the way to the top, you're just as empty as anybody else is empty. And guess what? It's even more depressing, because guess what? You got everything that should make you happy. But here comes my friend Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down from there. I must abide at your house. He got into a place where he could see Jesus, and Jesus got into a place where he could see him. Amen? Man, that's all you got to do for Jesus. Just get in a place where he can see you. I always amazed at Zacchaeus. He knew his name. He knew his name before even Zacchaeus come down, and he made haste. I want to see that. I hope there's HD screens in heaven. I want to see that. I want to see him come out of that tree. Yes! I want to see him. I bet he had bleeding palms and bleeding feet, and he was just walking. And all the people said, look, Jesus has gone to be at home with a sinner. They were talking about him. They were talking about him before. They were talking about him afterwards. It don't matter, because my friend Jesus showed up, and he went down to his house, and all of his house got saved. You know what? And there's proof that Zacchaeus got saved. You know? He took all that. He said, everybody that I stole from, I'll pay them back and pay them back fourfold. You know what? If you get saved, you'll want to make some stuff right. If you get saved, you'll want to make some stuff right. You'll say you're sorry. You'll get over the bitterness. You'll go back and make amends. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have hurt you like that. And sometimes you just got to say, I might not be able to pay you back. I might not be able to give you the time that I took. But I can say, I am sorry, and I hope you forgive me, because God has. Sometimes it's just enough to tell him you're sorry. Man, do you like Zacchaeus? My friend Jesus is coming by. Y'all see them? You see them both yet? They're sitting there working in them boats, and Jesus came by the Sea of Galilee, and they're like, who's this stranger? Zacchaeus was looking for him. Where's my friend? He's supposed to be coming by. Listen, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but we didn't even know he was a friend. I didn't even know he was a friend of mine. I didn't even know he was a friend. Some of y'all should shout. I didn't even know he was a friend. I didn't even know him as a friend when he was my greatest friend. I didn't even know he was my greatest friend before I knew him. I didn't know he had died for me. I didn't know that he loved me more than anybody. I didn't know that he created me. I didn't know that he was my friend. He was my greatest friend, and yet he was a stranger to me. I was looking for him. I thought about a little woman with issue of blood. Whoo! You ever been sick? You ever been sick? Guess what? If you ain't, you're going to be sick one day. Well, issue of blood, 12 years. Spent all that she had on doctors. Spent all that she had from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. And hey, we can't help you, but we'll keep taking your time and your money. Amen. She spent all she had. I don't know if it was in a waiting room. I don't know if it was that old-fashioned revival. I don't know where it was, but somebody said, man, somebody just get to Jesus. If you just get to Jesus, he'll make it right. He'll make it well if you just get to Jesus. She said, you know what? I've tried everything else. And this issue of blood ain't dried up. Maybe I'll look for him. Maybe if I get in a big enough crowd, I'll look for him. I'll wait for him. I see him coming. Here comes my friend Jesus! I ain't going to talk to him. I'm not going to bug him. I'm not going to bother him. But I'm just going to touch him. Some of y'all need just to touch him. I'm not talking about with your physical touch. Some of y'all need to reach out with your heart and say, God, I believe. I believe. God, I need you. We physically come to church, but sometimes spiritually we don't come to church. We say, well, bless me if you can. God, give me another word if you can. Sing another song if you can. God said, hey, I've got everything you need. Just come. She got to the place where she's looking. I'm looking for him. And there was a crowd there. A crowd so thick. A crowd so heavy that they didn't know who touched him. Everybody was touching him. Everybody was touching him. But nobody was touching him. Till she did. She reached out in faith. She said, oh, God. This is going to work. Not maybe. It's going to work. I ain't got to see no more doctors. This is going to work. I'm looking for him. Here comes my friend. Here comes my healer. Here comes my Jesus. Some of y'all say, hey, you're radical. You're crazy. Yeah, you just don't know him like I know him. As he went by, she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says the power. Amen. The power came out of him. The Bible is where we get our word dynamo from. Amen. It means an explosion of power went off and nobody heard it and nobody felt it but two people. God and the woman who needed it. Sometimes people don't feel everything that happens to you, but God does and you do. Amen. Hey, it don't matter if everybody else seen it. It don't matter if everybody else felt it. As long as he does and you do. Amen. As long as he does and you do. Hey, there comes my friend Jesus. If you need a healing, it don't matter. It's just you and Jesus. Anyway, amen? You get radical enough, you'll sound different. I ain't talking to you. I ain't asking you. You sound like you're going to do something crazy. I ain't talking to you. If I told you, it sounds foolish. If I tell God, it makes sense. What are you doing down there on the ground? What are you doing down there in the dirt? Sometimes you got to get low. That's our problem. We want to meet Jesus up here. We want to humble ourselves. Amen? He wants you to humble yourself. When you humble yourself, when you get low, guess what he says? If you'll humble yourself, then guess what he says? I'll exalt you. When? In due time. Amen? When you're ready for it, I'll pick you up when you're ready to be picked up. I'll stand you up when you're ready to be stand up. You get low and let me do the lifting. Golly. Y'all getting that? Y'all get that? I'm sitting here looking. What are you looking for? I wonder if anybody, what are you looking for? He's coming. I heard he's going to pass this way. I heard he's coming. I mean, you ain't noticed the crowd. You ain't noticed the music. You ain't noticed all. I ain't here for that. I ain't here for that. I wish we'd get that attitude in church sometimes. I didn't come for you. I come for Jesus. If I can get a hold of Jesus, then bless you. Amen. I'm looking for him to show up. I don't care who sings. I don't care who preaches. I don't care who prays. I don't care who does. Is he come? Is he here yet? Because when he gets here, I'm going to touch him. Because if I touch him, I know he'll touch me. Because it said, listen, the power went out of me and the issue of blood dried up. Because guess what? When he touched her, when she touched him, he touched her. Amen. She tried to hide. It's hard to hide when you've been touched. Amen? I worry about people say they've been touched. They can hide. And they hide in the world. Amen? I think she was hiding, but I think she's... I ain't bleeding no more. God's good. Oh, he's good. I'm glad my friend came by here. I didn't know he was a friend of mine. I just heard about him. I didn't know he was the greatest friend I ever had. I didn't know he was a healer. I didn't know he was a saver. I didn't know he could change everything. I didn't know he had that much power in him. Oh, God, I'm glad he came by my way. Oh, God, he's good. He's goodness. Oh, God, Jesus stops. Somebody's touched me. He's like, what do you mean? Jesus, everybody's touched me. No, not everybody. Not everybody. Not everybody. And she said, stay here. You can't stay here if Jesus has touched you. You're staying that crowd. You're trying to stay at work. You're trying to stay around. People start talking about God bad. They start talking about ministry bad. They start talking about, yeah. Oh, that's true, but yeah, what you said is true. But guess what? You don't know the one I know. Amen. Amen? Because if you touch him, it'll be different for you. Because I did. I touched him. She couldn't be healed. She says, it's me. You know what she expected? She was supposed to be punished because she shouldn't have been touching Jesus. He's a holy man. He's a priest. He's a rabbi. He's the high priest. He is a man in general. And guess what? Women that are in an issue of blood like she was, you don't touch a man. You're not supposed, man, I'm about to jump over these boxes. You're not supposed to touch him. You don't belong in here. I know I don't belong. I didn't ask if I belong. I just came by because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And Jesus is coming by here. If he wants to punish me, he can punish me, but I'm sick. If he wants to get rid of me, he can get rid of me, but I'm sick. I'm not going home the same. If it kills me, it kills me. If it don't, it don't. I'm going to touch him. Who touched me? It's me. I touched you. Go in peace. You've been made whole. I didn't get punished. I didn't get corrected. I got sent home whole. Everybody in the whole crowd, they're not whole. I'm whole. I came there broken. I come there weak. I came there bleeding. I came there without. I'm leaving whole. You can come any way you want to come. You can leave any way you want to leave. But the way I'm going to do it. I come broke. I came sick. I'm leaving whole. Amen. I don't care what you think about me. I didn't ask you in the first place. I come to touch Jesus. I'm going to leave. But not the same way I came in. Friend Jesus. Jesus is coming. My friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I didn't even know he's my friend. But when I found out he was my friend, I wouldn't trade him for anybody. And I thought about one more lady that kind of blows me away because I see myself like this lady. It was the woman at the well. Amen? The woman at the well, she done messed up her life, five times. Now, I know there's some people in here that's messed your life up maybe more than five times. But if you've turned it upside down once, ain't it enough? Hey, amen. You know what she was doing? She was coming to the well. She said, you know what? I've messed my life so bad. I've messed my life up so bad. I don't want to be around nobody. Jesus sat down. Her friend came by.
Who's up there on the well?
Some Jew?
No,
your friend.
Some rabbi?
Nope, your best friend.
Some priest? Some Messiah? Some Jesus? Some Savior? Some Son of God? He sat down. The place is called Sychar. The Sychar means at the end. He came to the end of who she was and sat down. Your friend, my God, he will sit down in your life, in your end, in your weak place, in your broken place, in that place where, listen, I ain't talking about being sick. I ain't talking about being hurt. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about you messed it up. You blame the devil, but you had a part in it too. You messed it up. And I ain't talking about, I ain't talking about 10 years ago. I ain't talking about 5 years ago. I ain't talking about 3 years ago. I'm talking about 2 hours ago. I'm talking about last night. I'm talking about the night before. You got mad. You got angry. You said words. You had thoughts. You did stuff. God, we can't be real in here. And he still shows up. He still sits down. He still loves you. You ever messed up so bad that you think that's it? God, no reason to use me anymore. Put me on the bench. Put me on the sideline. Don't talk to me. Don't have nothing to do with me. And then he still sits down. Still waits on you. Still looks for you to come. Man, I'm preaching. Listen. When everybody else, you're out there on the driest part of the day. You're out there at the hottest time. You're out there when nobody else will be there. Guess who will be there? Your friend Jesus. You're coming at the weirdest times. Ain't got nobody out here with you. But I thought I'd just be here. Sit here and wait on you. You know what he's waiting on you to do? It's simple stuff. You won't believe it. God, I'm sorry. Can I be real with you? The way I pray, the way I say it. Dad, I'm sorry. Hey, Dad. I'm sorry. I did it again. I said it again. I thought it again. Hey, Dad. I know. You probably don't want to use me. Hey, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. You probably don't want to hear from me right now. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, Kevin, I would like it if you come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. You need me and I need you. Would you please come on and just boldly call it out? Just say it. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me my sins. Anoint me afresh. Send me. God, help me. Lord, strengthen me. I know I messed up. And without you, I can't even stand. I can't even walk. I can't even hold my head up. God, I'm sorry. I messed up again. He goes, yeah, I know you messed up again. But can I tell you a secret? From the day that I saved you, today I forgive you. I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heaven, all the way to the bottom of the sea. And why do you say the bottom of the sea? Because you can't go too deep without being crushed. Amen. Somebody say, I'm going to go find your sin. Well, the time you find it, you'll be crushed. I cast this from the east to the west. Why? Because if you keep walking east, you'll never find west. You'll never find my sin. Because it was hidden in Christ. Christ, he threw it behind his, but he cast it away. And man, he loves you that much. But all he wants you to do is say, he wants you to come back into that relationship and say, hey, Dad. Hey, Abba, Father. Hey, the one that adopted me. God, y'all don't even know what I just said. The one that adopted. Listen, adoption's different than being birthed. Adoption is like this. I know you. You can't hide your flaws. You're jacked up. You're turned sideways. You're a mess. And I want you anyway. I'll take you anyway. I'll graft you in anyway. You're a part of the most purest tree there ever. Golly. He said, I have grafted you into the holy olive tree. You know what kind of branch you look like on that tree? David's on that tree. Abraham's on that tree. Isaac and Jacob, all kinds of them are on the tree. And there you are. Judge me. Don't judge me. I read about y'all. Amen. I read about you. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. I might be a wild branch, but I'm a branch. Amen? I might look wild. I might seem different. But if you look right over there on my limb, there's a couple of fruits hanging on. Amen? And I'm going to remain. Like me or not, I'm coming in with you. Amen? Because one day, my friend, Jesus, came by. Has he came by in your life? As he comes and gets a song. We've had church tonight, ain't we? But he's done his part. He led worship. I've done my part and praise or preach. It's time for you to do your part and let God work on your life. As people are coming to pray, come on, come on, come on. He's going to bless the Lord. He's going to worship. You come, if God's been a blessing to you tonight, just come. Just come on, come on, come on. It's when